Welcome to Torah from JTS, a weekly commentary from the Jewish Theological Seminary.
This is Aaron Kohler, adjunct professor of Talmud and Rabbinics, with a commentary for Parashat Balak. The thrill and the terror of the foreign prophet. No prophet like Moses ever again arose in Israel, reports Deuteronomy's final encomium for the great prophet and leader. Picking up on the final phrase, the Midrash comments, "In Israel, but among the nations there did arise. Who was he? Bilam, the son of Beor." Prophecy among the nations fascinated and terrified ancient Jews. It must exist. If there's only one God, God of the whole world, why should divine inspiration be limited to the members of one nation? There's no reason that God cannot speak with the Greeks through an oracle or the Arameans through seers, just as he spoke to the Israelites through their prophets. But while prophets among other peoples testifies to the universality and all-encompassing power of God, doesn't it also challenge the uniqueness of Israel? The figure of Bilam, well known among both Jews and non-Jews, was an opportunity to think through this challenge. The Aramaic Book of Bilam, an 8th century text from Deir Alla, Jordan, tells us that on the eastern side of the Jordan, too, Bilam was a figure of great renown, whose ancient words were inscribed on a temple wall there. Already in the Torah, we seem to hear three different ways of thinking about Bilam, and these three ways continue throughout the Hebrew Bible and into later Jewish thinkers. To recall, our parasha, the biblical story of Bilam, tells that the Moabite king Balak sent for the great seer to come curse the people of Israel in the wilderness. Bilam protests that he can only do what God ordains, and after a nighttime revelation from God, confirms that he can come, but will also only be able to say what God allows him to say. On the way to Balak, Bilam's donkey, but not Bilam himself, sees an angel of God blocking his path. When the donkey finally speaks and edifies its owner, the angel reiterates that Bilam can only say what God wants him to say. Finally, Bilam and Balak go to site after site, mountain after mountain, overlooking the camp of the Israelites, and at each site, Bilam has sacrifices offered and then utters an oracle in praise of Israel. Enraged, Balak sends him home, and each goes his own way. How do we assess the character of Bilam in this story? On one end of the spectrum, we get the fool of the donkey episode. Bilam here is obtuse, short-tempered, and most of all, revealed as an incompetent prophet. Even his dumb donkey can see better than he can. An intermediate portrait emerges from the frame story. Bilam insists that he cannot cross God, that he can only say what God wants him to say, but this very much sounds like a check on his power, on what he wants to do, not an ideal. He doesn't bless Israel, because he identifies with God's will, but only because he's powerless to go against it. And finally, there is the Bilam of the oracles. Here we hear soaring rhetoric in praise of Israel, meet a prophet of brilliant poetry who sees the best qualities of the young nation. His praise is so incisive and buoyant that we still quote him on a daily basis. It was Bilam, after all, who said in his first oracle, "How fair are your tents, O Jacob, your dwellings, O Israel! Ma tovu ohalecha, Yaakov, mishkenotecha, Yisrael." Bilam's first two oracles are no less laudatory. "As I see them from the mountaintops, gaze on them from the heights, there is a people that dwells apart, not reckoned among the nations. Who can count the dust of Jacob, number the dust cloud of Israel? May I die the death of the upright, may my fate be like theirs." Or again, "Lo, a people that rises like a lioness, leaps up like a lion, rests not till it has feasted on prey and drunk the blood of the slain." This Bilam, who presses his soaring eloquence into use in praise of Israel, is the one who does us the most pride. But he also challenges our covenantal bond with God by his very existence. What is special about Israel's relationship with God if Bilam divines God's will and speaks on God's behalf with even more power and elegance? There may be no prophet like Moses in Israel, but there is one greater among the nations. Fortunately for the Israelite sense of self, Bilam's character comes quickly crashing down after this peak. In Numbers 31, we learn that Bilam was responsible for the sin the Israelites committed with the Midianites at Baal Peor. Perhaps more importantly, Joshua, in Joshua chapter 24, later reinterprets the oracles in light of the story, arguing that Bilam tried to curse Israel, but God changed the curses to blessings. The question of the foreign prophet still exercises us, because it taps into a deep question about the relationship between God and Israel. The more power granted to Bilam, the less unique Israel is, but the more valuable Bilam's praise becomes for us. By demoting Bilam to a fool or a second-rate seer, the monogamous covenant between Israel and God is affirmed, but his own words become less significant. These dilemmas are not resolved in our parsha, but they are explored here. The Talmud reports that in addition to the Torah, Moses wrote the section of Bilam. In the Palestinian Talmud, the claim is even more explicit. Quote, Moses wrote the five books of the Torah and then went back and wrote the section of Balak and Bilam. If the uniqueness of the story of Bilam is unmistakable, its significance is no less so. Telling the story of the historical character of Bilam is also a way of thinking through our own standing in the world and in the eyes of God.
If you enjoyed this program, please rate and review it on Apple Podcasts. And discover JTS's other series by visiting jtsa.edu/podcasts. To learn with JTS faculty in live online classes, visit jtsa.edu/online. And you can get in touch with us by emailing onlinelearning@jtsa.edu. Thanks for listening.